The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
We're talking about the college football playoff. What happened last night? It looked like Penn State was going to get it done, and they didn't. And then tonight with Ohio State and Texas, it's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mike, let's recap before we look ahead. And we talked a lot about Penn State having opportunities last night, but quarterback play hurt them, and they weren't able to have any explosive plays. Throwing the ball down the field to their wide receivers, was ineffective. Right. And, you know, there's been a lot of blame and finger-pointing today. It's the day after, obviously, Notre Dame moves on to the national championship. What did you think?
I just thought that, James Franklin did nothing to change people's perception that he gets tight or his team gets tight. And, you know, team's always a reflection of their head coach late in games. And I know that it was funny. Drew Aller was just awful last night. I mean, they get off to that 10-0 lead. Notre Dame comes back, and it was kind of a game of runs. Like, Notre Dame would get on a hot streak, and then I thought the refs certainly helped Penn State, a non-holding call. Then you had that nonsense, you know, pass interference. But at the end of the game, and I got the audio, Oren queued it up for us, Carl, Drew Aller isn't doing anything. And a lot of folks said in hindsight, don't ask this guy to do anything he hasn't been able to do during the game. But Greg McElroy felt differently during the call. Take a listen.
How do they play it with 47 seconds to go? You aggressive? Or are you cautious?
I'm aggressive. I mean, I got two timeouts. I feel like the momentum's been back and forth. The quarterback, for the most part, all season long, his whole career, Drew Aller's made good decisions. He's got 50-plus touchdowns, only 9 career interceptions. He's not likely a guy that's going to put the ball in harm's way. I trust him. I think he can do it. And I would empower him in this situation to drive him down the field for a game-winning field goal.
As long as 49. Aller hit as he throws, and it is intercepted! Christian Gray picks it off!
That's what happens.
Now, again, if you're going to be on TV, you're going to have strong convictions, right? But holy cow, boy, did that one just absolutely blow up. And Greg McElroy is a friend of ours. We've had him on the show a million times. But, yeah, now a lot of folks said that Greg was the exception. A lot of guys said, look, your boy hasn't done anything. Your offense has been, you know, very pedestrian at times. So why don't you just take it to the overtime and roll the dice with your run game as opposed to just kind of the same argument against Gunnar Stockton trying to do something before the half against Notre Dame.
Yeah, I just feel like, you know, and again, Penn State, they'll look at this game and they'll look back and go, we let this one get away from us. It's a tie ball game. You just needed to run the football, I think, Mike, and try to set your field goal kicker up. And you take this chance. And you know, that soundbite says it all, right? That is exactly what their coach thought, but yet they hadn't done that the entire game. And it makes no sense. Read the room. Understand where my team is, where my quarterback is. If Aller was throwing the ball around the field, Mike, I'd be like, let's go. But he wasn't. He was timid, and I don't know if his confidence was where you needed it to be to do that. So let me hear Marcus Freeman, because they're going to the national championship game. They overcame a bunch of injuries, including a couple on their offensive line. Like, this team's resilient, and maybe this is Notre Dame's year. Either way, Freeman was talking about, you know, how they continue to fight through the injuries.
In the second half, he made some Jeremiah Love plays, and you know what? It speaks volumes to the heart he has. He gave everything he had to this place. He did not have to play today, and, you know, nobody would have batted an eye. But he put team in front of himself and how he felt. And we got a whole bunch of guys like that in that locker room, and that's why we're in this position.
He's talking about Jeremiah Love. He's right. And that was another guy that was like, I'm playing. It doesn't matter. Freeman also talked about his kicker. His name's Mitch Jeter. He made the game-winning field goal.
Riley kept everybody under control, and we knew we were in range where Mitch could make that field goal. And he is a confident guy, man. There is no moment too big for Mitch Jeter. And I had a lot of confidence in him in that moment. He was going to do exactly what he did. And he did a great job at doing it.
So,
you know, the story on him, Carl, is remember, he came from South Carolina, got injured this year. They were one of the worst kicking teams in all of college football. But then again, when he comes back from the injury, and, you know, all those isolation shots of him warming up on the sideline, can he handle it? That was not a college kicker moment, man. He stepped up.
He did. So they're in. Who will they play? That is the question. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I hope we get an entertaining game tonight. Last night's game, a little bit of a grind, right? It came down to the end, and it was great, but it wasn't like back and forth. I don't know who's going to win this game. The game was tied. I get it at the end, but there were really no kinds of wow plays. I think we're going to get that tonight, Mike, with Texas and Ohio State. What do you think about tonight?
Brother, I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. It better be because you and I are both on the over, and I just told Carl, I called my guy, put my money where my mouth is on that one. The over-under is 52. The Ohio State Buckeyes, despite that ugly loss to Michigan, have been really good against the spread. Texas has really struggled until they played Georgia. Texas was 5-0, and then they played Georgia, and then things went south against the spread. I worry about Steve Sarkisian, and does he get tight? And we just talked about James Franklin, and whether it's, the team picks up on it or the way they just manage the game. Why don't they put teams away? I think the Arizona State game comes to mind, the two games with Georgia. Georgia kept giving them opportunity after opportunity when Carson Beck would turn the ball over in that first matchup in Austin, but they never seemed to be able to get on the gas. So I'm not saying Sark's going to gack it, but let me ask you, because you're a Texas fan, what does Sark change with the approach? Does he lean more on his defense? Does he lean more on his run game? What happens?
Yeah, I think it's the run game. I mean, look, I will tell you Ohio State probably is the second best defense they'll face behind Georgia, and they lost twice to Georgia this year. But you can't run the ball against Arizona State the way they did and only rack up 50 yards and say, hey, we were committed to it. They just didn't do enough in the run game, and I think that's what they're going to have to do tonight. I think they lean on their defense. Again, you're fourth or third in sacks. Mike, you have more interceptions, I think, than two other teams have more interceptions the entire season. Those are the things that have to happen for Texas. You've got to turn them over. You've got to run the ball and not say, Quinn Ewers, I need you to throw it 50 times to win, because that's not going to happen. By the way, a side note to this, for those who don't know, Quinn Ewers went to Ohio State. He took a big NIL deal. He was like one of the first guys.
Right.
Okay. Stayed a semester. Then transferred back to Texas because that's where he was from, and everybody said that's where he should have went in the first place. And then, Mike, it ends up working out. But this is full circle for him tonight. He is playing a team in which, he thought everybody in his life was going to be about Ohio State. And we now know in this NIL world that where you start is not where you finish. But it's sort of like, okay, you know what? You guys didn't even allow me to take a snap. This is some get back in a way. So I'm curious to see if he is a little amped up and plays, maybe above his head tonight. But I think the defense has got to come through for the Longhorns if they're going to win this game.
Yeah, and that's a great point. I mean, he was kind of like the first poster child, right, for NIL.
Yep.
And remember he had money. You mentioned had money out of high school. So I just feel that if not now, when for Texas? I know certainly the future is bright with everything Sark is doing recruiting wise, and Arch Manning, and their collective is probably the biggest in the country. And then you get back to Ohio State. I don't know why they couldn't get their superstar wide receiver involved against Michigan, but Chip Kelly has figured it out. And I know that you and I have been saying that phrase, prisoner of the moment. Don't get so crazy about the Oregon game, but it's hard not to look at the Ohio State Oregon game unless Oregon was a fugazi. Do you think that they were living? Look, remember, they won the Big Ten. They beat Ohio State and Penn State. So I still think that Ohio State victory, the complete absolute smackdown in the Rose Bowl, I mean, it's got to make you feel pretty good about your chance against Texas. Although Texas, even though you're home in Jerry World, you're a 5.5 to 6 point dog, which I wonder if Sark uses that as a rallying cry.
It could be. And I don't know. This is why I say the way they have won their last two games, it's impressive. I mean, whether you like Ohio State or not, they outscored both Tennessee and Oregon by a combined score of 83-38. That you can't deny that. Like that's okay. They're clicking. And I also think for Sark, as we talk about the Longhorns and Ohio State tonight, college football playoff, we'll see who plays Notre Dame right here in our wonderful city. in about a week and a half or so. I think that the game's on January 20th. But the other part for Sark is, you know, you look at this Ohio State and you say, okay, there are only two teams that gave up fewer yards in Texas. Ohio State's one of them. So, Mike, are they just more of a complete team, and do they play as such as they've done in these last two games? If they do, I hate to say it, I think Ohio State wins the game. But you need those areas of your football team to step up for Sark. And you're right. If it's close, that's the other part about this. I said this when they played Georgia. I trust Kirby more than I do Sark. Kirby's been there, done it. He showed it. In these big moments – last night, James Franklin. Oh, well, let's just throw it. No. Let's run the ball. We've had success early. Don't get caught up. And Sark has a tendency to do that. He may do that tonight. But this is also Ryan's day moment, because if they don't win it, Mike, I don't know how Ohio State fans can continue to say, you know, despite the fact that they've beaten these other two, this is where you're supposed to win for Ohio State. So I just hope we get a good game.
And the difference, I think, if you go like style makes the fight, I think last night it was the sum of its parts. I think Jeremiah Love with that like second and third effort to get the touchdown for the Irish. Jaden Greenhouse, a great house, I should say, with the move where the corner falls down, takes it to the house. But you look at like the skill positions at Penn State, their wide receivers are like, ugh. Everyone knows who Tyler Warren is. He's going to be a first round pick as a tight end, but their wide receivers are just meh. And then tonight, you've got like rock stars at every position at the skill positions. Jeremiah Smith, I mean, NFL fans can't wait to see this guy. You got to wait a few more years, just like Alabama. But Jeremiah Smith and Will Howard, can they connect? Why they couldn't connect against Michigan, I don't know. And the great, at the end of the day, as college football becomes the NFL, and it doesn't matter how you start, I guess you can argue that Northern Illinois and Michigan fans will have great stories to tell, and it'll be great trivia question answers. But all you're going to know is who's carrying that trophy here, you know, on MLK Day in Atlanta.
Yeah. It's gonna be interesting. And if you're just joining us, the other college football news today, it's official. Carson Beck is going to Miami. Just had a guy hit me up. He says, I don't like it for my Canes. If you live in Georgia and you watched Georgia football and you are a Hurricane fan, and this is interesting because this is what this guy is. He was like, look, I watch these Georgia games. I'm following my team. I don't know if he makes us better than what we were this year. You're supposed to try to upgrade. And I said this, Mike, I don't think he's better than Cam Ward. Now, he can prove me wrong, but I don't think he's better.
Right. No, I think we did that poll. Remember, we joked around back in like October, November. It was basically 50-50 that Georgia fans still didn't trust Carson Beck. And look, he did some screwy stuff. I don't think Bobo helps him. But that Alabama game, the first half against Texas, did everything in his part to give that game back. Now, granted, in the Alabama game, he came on like a house of fire. But I think NFL scouts were looking at him kind of like lukewarm, second round tops. So he's got a chance to go to Miami. He's going to make the same money, apparently, he was making through NIL, $4 million. Based on the guesstimates, and be close to that smoke show girlfriend of his, and then maybe throws for 35-40 touchdowns and gets himself into the first round, maybe the first half of the first round, because this is 26. You know, here's the thing. The worst thing for Carson Beck is the injury, because this is still a really weak quarterback class. You get outside of Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward, and then all of a sudden teams, it kind of reminds you like E.J. Manuel or the Christian Ponder years, where teams took a quarterback hoping he'd be the guy when he wasn't. But I'm with you. And by the way, Rusty Manziel, our buddy, just tweeted out, Dalen Everett. Remember we mentioned all the safeties and the depth in the safeties are leaving? Well, they still got one of their best corners, the MVP of the SEC championship game. Dalen Everett has announced he will return for Georgia in 2025. So that's good for Kirby and Co.